Podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you've decided to join us, and we hope you enjoy this week's message.
Good morning, everyone. It seemed like this past week we've knocked out all our sunny days in one week. This has been a great week. Let's go to God in prayer. Mighty God in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this day, Lord, that we can be in your house. We're thankful for the sunshine outside that we've had the past week, Lord. And we're thankful for all the blessings that you've bestowed on each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you watch over our service this morning with our praises to you, Lord, and with the speaker. Pray all this in your son's name. Amen.
Good morning, folks. Hope you'll take an opportunity to look at the announcements in the bulletin. We have a lot of things coming up. Next week, of course, is next Saturday is our walk through the Bible. So if you haven't signed up for that, you want to sign up, you can still do that this week. That's next Saturday from 9 to noon. I'd love to have you join us in that. Then next Sunday is Graduate Recognition Sunday. That'll be at the second service, not the first service. And also, then we'll be having a barbecue after the second service. And I hope you'll join us for that. There's a list to sign, the bulletin board, some items to bring if you'd like to bring some items. But we just need you to sign so we know how many to set up for. We have barbecue pork and hot dogs and all kind of other things. So join us during that time of fellowship. Ryan needs some help with the street fair coming up with VBS. Just people to man a booth down there and sign the kids up for Vacation Bible School. We had a lot of kids sign up. We didn't do it last year, the year before, for Vacation Bible School. So if you can help him, please let him know. And I want to encourage you about the walk relay for Ukraine. I don't know if you have on anybody's team or if you've got a team, but if not, I really want to encourage you to do that. Here's a registration sheet. Basically, a team has 10 people. It's $10 a person to walk. And that $10 goes to one of our missions. International Disaster Emergency Service, 100% of the money goes to the Ukraine. Now, I know some of you have a hard time walking, but that's okay, because you can come and just fellowship. Somebody on the team needs to be walking all the time. You don't need to be walking. Maybe you don't want to walk at all. If you don't want to be on a team, you can also come in. It's $10 just to get in, but that'll be up at the high school. And we really want to encourage you. This is an opportunity to evangelize for our community, see our church in action. There'll be a number of people from the community there. There are going to be food trucks as well as other vendors. There's a disc jockey who will be entertaining us. We'll have prayer time. So it'll be a great time together. And I just want to encourage you to get one of these and get your family and get some neighbors. There are people who would be interested in this who, if you invite them to church, no, I don't think so. But if you invite them to join this, they'll do it. And it's an opportunity for them to meet other Christians. So I really want to encourage you to pick one of these up and get involved in that if you would. Also, as far as announcements, remember there's a board meeting today after the second service. Please look over the prayer list in the bulletin. Remember these people, not only in your prayers, but get a chance, send a card too, or make a phone call. Let them know you're thinking about them. Let's take a moment and go to God in silent prayer. Amen. For 8 years, the Animal Planet ran a TV series entitled Monsters Inside Me. I don't know if any of you watched that. Maybe you didn't miss an episode for 8 years. I don't know. One episode featured John Allen. He was an assistant biology professor at William & Mary University in Virginia. Allen had been experiencing a rough spot in his mouth. At night, he could feel it with his tongue. And one night, it would be over here. In daytime, it was gone. Next night, it would be a different place in his mouth. And he was a biology professor, so he came to the conclusion that he probably had a parasite in his mouth, a worm. And he went to his doctor, and his doctor said, you know what, I really don't know much about that kind of thing. So his doctor sent him to an oral surgeon. And the oral surgeon said, well, you know, you might be a biology professor, but you should not be self-diagnosing. Any of you do that? Do you diagnose yourself? You shouldn't do this. Anyhow, he said, it's not a worm. I don't even see a problem with you right now, so don't worry about it. But he went home, and that night, same thing, this rough spot and part of his mouth. Next night again, third night, he awakened his wife, got her up, made her shine a flashlight into his mouth. As he looked in the mirror, he took forceps and pulled out a 3/4-inch worm from inside his cheek. There's a picture of John and his wife, and he's holding a little jar. In the jar is the worm. He named it Buddy. Now, what happened to Professor Allen is very, very, very rare occurrence. So the next time you have a sore in your mouth, don't jump to the conclusion that you have buddyitis. But with that said, Professor Allen is not the only person with a monster in his mouth. The monster that all of us have to deal with is our tongue. The scriptures have much to say about the tongue. Solomon calls it a scorching fire, and he says the tongue has the power of life and death. The psalmist refers to it as a sharp sword, a drawn sword, a sharpened razor. Jeremiah speaks of it as a deadly arrow. And Paul calls it an open grave, and he says our tongue contains the poison of vipers. And then we have James. James says the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and it itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise the Lord, our Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. What the Bible says about the tongue is very important. We need to get this monster inside us under control. The average American has about 30 conversations a day. They tell us about 1/5 or 20% of our entire life will be spent talking. Now, on the average, they tell us women speak more words than men. Dr. Lou Anne Brezadine, clinical professor of psychiatry at the University of California, wrote a book entitled The Female Brain, and she says that on the average, a woman speaks about 20,000 words a day, and a man speaks about 7,000 words a day. That kind of explains what happened to the couple. They had been married for 50 years. They were taking a trip, and they had been on the road for about 3 hours, and time to stop at a rest stop. The guy got out, he went to the restroom, walked around a little bit, got back in the car, and took off. About 15 minutes later, this siren and police car following him pulled him over and said to him, "Did you know that you left your wife at the rest stop? Back there, you left your wife stranded at the rest stop." And the old man said, "Oh, that's great news." And the policeman said, "What do you mean that's great news? You left your wife stranded." He said, "Yeah, but you see, I thought I was going deaf." Now, I mentioned this stat to some people last week, that a woman speaks about 20,000 words and a man speaks about 7,000 words. And one woman said that was probably accurate because a woman has to explain everything to a man 2 or 3 times before they understand it. I don't really know if this is an accurate stat or not. I have my doubts about it. But we do speak a lot of words. And sometimes James says that the words that come out of our mouth should not come out of our mouths. What we say, the words we speak, say something about us. Matthew 15:18 says, "But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart." Matthew 12:34, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." And then in Luke we read, "The good man brings good things out of a good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks." The words that come out of our mouth indicate what type of people we are. The words that come out of our mouth show what type of heart that we have. What James and Jesus are telling us is that evil words, bad words, curse words, hurtful words do not flow from a pure heart. But it's difficult to keep this monster in our mouth under control. James says in chapter 3, verse 2, anyone who is never at fault in what he says is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check. It's very, very difficult to keep our tongue under control. James chapter 3, verse 10 says, out of the same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt spring produce fresh water. So James compares our hearts to a spring. If our heart is pure, then refreshing, pure water comes from the spring. If our hearts are not pure, then we have salt water coming out. So let's talk for a moment about refreshing words and salty words. Let's begin with salty words. Ephesians 4:29 says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, unwholesome talk, that is a very general term, but the context gives us an indication about what Paul is talking about. He's talking about overcritical words, hurtful words, destructive words, negative words. He's talking about someone who complains and gripes and quarrels about everything. I looked up hurtful words on the internet, and I found a site where people listed hurtful words that were said to them over the years, and they remember these words. And some of them might sound familiar to us. Why can't you be more like your sister? If I want something done right, I'll never ask you to do it. No one will ever want you. You and your brother are just in the way of me living my life. You just aren't smart enough. You'll never amount to anything. I wish you were never born. We don't want you hanging around with us. I hate you. Dad left because of you. And the unfortunate thing is that list is about never ending. We need to be careful that we don't use destructive, hurtful, overly critical words. Words like I just read. Words that if they came out of somebody else's mouth, we'd be appalled. The important question is, what kind of words come out of our mouths? Colossians chapter 3, Paul gives us a list of words that we need to rid ourselves of. He says slander. Now you know what slander is. It's saying something about someone that isn't true. He says we need to get rid of filthy language. Let me give you an example. No, I better not. No, we won't do. But I don't have to give you. You know what I mean when I say filthy language. He says lies. The Bible says God cannot lie. The Bible says the devil is the father of lies. If we're liars, who is our father? Wife asked her husband, why don't you play golf with Ted anymore? And the husband said, well, would you play golf with someone who lied about a score? And his wife said, well, no, I guess I wouldn't. And her husband said, well, Ted won't either. Ephesians chapter 5, Paul again makes a list of things that he calls improper as far as our speech. He says foolish talk. Now, when he's talking about foolish talk, he's not talking about frivolous talk or silly talk. He's not talking about people who just deal with trivia. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God. When he's talking about foolish talk, he's talking about speech that gives little or no thought to God's wisdom or guidance or judgment. Then again, he says obscenity. Of course, that's filthy language. Coarse joking, dirty jokes. And again, I don't have to explain that to you. In Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through 30, Paul talks about people who have exchanged the truth for lies. And he says they have become filled with every type of wickedness and evil and greed and depravity. He says they have become boastful. Someone who's boastful is somebody who brags about their own ability, their own strength, their own intelligence. Book of Jeremiah, we read, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise boast of their wisdom or the strong boast of their strength or the rich boast of their riches. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Paul says, I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Boastful words do not come from a pure heart. And then he talks about gossips. And he says you should not be a gossiper. Now, the Bible talks a lot about gossiping, and it never condones it. It always condemns it. There are different types of gossipers. There are some people who think that gossip is a gift, that God has given it to them, and they share it with everyone. But I guarantee you, gossip is not a gift, and it's not something we should be proud of. It is condemned in the Bible. And then we have different types of gossipers. We have the, I'm telling you this so you can pray for them, gossiper. I noticed that so-and-so hasn't been wearing his wedding ring lately. I'm only telling you this so you can keep it in your prayers. Really? Is that what you're saying? I heard so-and-so has an eating disorder. Keep them in your prayers. Hey, the Joneses are 3 months behind on the bills. I hear their car might get repossessed. Add them to your prayer list. Now, I know this can be a tricky area, but we know our hearts, and we know if we're sharing something with someone so they can actually pray and help that person, or if we're just trying to gossip. And then another type of gossiper is, I'm just telling like it is, gossiper. So-and-so has a drinking problem. Man, he was at the bar 6 hours last night. In fact, they had to kick him out. I'm just telling it like it is. Now, the phrase, I'm just telling it like it is, can be put another way. I'm not slandering my neighbor. I'm just gossiping about my neighbor. That doesn't sound near as proper or as appropriate as I'm just telling it like it is. When someone says, I'm just telling it like it is, it makes them sound kind of courageous and direct. And you want to pat them on the back. But when you say, I'm not slandering my neighbor, I'm just gossiping about them, that doesn't sound near as appropriate. In fact, that doesn't sound like you ought to be patted on the back. It sounds like you ought to be kicked in the pants. Then here's my favorite one. I'm telling you this so you can pray. That's the wrong one. It's supposed to be bless their heart, gossiper. Bless their heart, gossiper. There are those people who basically think they can say anything if they end it by saying, bless their hearts. So-and-so is working so hard to keep their marriage together, even though her husband is cheating on her. Bless her heart. So-and-so is really doing the very best to make that wig that he wears look like his real hair. Bless his heart. We laugh, but that's what some of us tend to do. Bless our hearts. But that's enough of the salty words. Words that should not come out of our mouth. Let's now talk about refreshing words. That spelling's not right either, so don't stick with that. I'm praying for you. I forgive you. I'm sorry. You're a talented kid. Great job. Thanks for helping. You're a great friend. I couldn't have done it without you. You're a wonderful teacher. I like the way you handle that. You're such a blessing. I wish everyone was as dedicated as you. I love you. I'm thankful for you. I appreciate you. I'm glad I got to know you better. These are examples of refreshing words that encourage, build up, and help others. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 10, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Then in Proverbs 26:24, gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones. Proverbs 12:25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. That's the type of words we as Christians ought to speak. Kind words, positive words, encouraging words. Words like thank you. Three grandmothers were talking about their grandchildren. First grandmother said, I sent gifts to my grandchildren this Christmas. Not one of them sent a thank you note or called me to say thank you. Second grandmother said, yeah, I sent Christmas gifts to my grandkids also. I got thank you notes back, but I know it was only because their mom made them send them. The third grandmother said, well, last year I sent all my grandkids $50 each. And I did not get a phone call. I did not get a thank you card. This year, I sent them $50 each also. And this year, each one of them called me on Christmas Day, that very day. And the other grandmother said to her, well, why do you think, what changed? What happened? She said, oh, well, this year I didn't sign the checks. You know, thank you, easy to say. And those are words that ought to flow from our hearts. It's something we as Christians ought to do. Often, we ought to thank God and we ought to thank others. The Bible says we ought to speak comforting words and loving words and hopeful words. Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, to correct, rebuke, and encourage. Now, you look at this, and at first you think, oh, those are salty words, correct and rebuke. But those are not salty words. Those are refreshing words. Those are words that turn people around. Those are words that give life. A heart that is holy and pure and filled with love will correct people who are teaching false doctrine and will help people who are going the wrong direction to get going the right direction. They will rebuke them if they are sinning. And do it in a kind and gentle and loving spirit, but still they'll rebuke them. And then Paul says we are to encourage other people. And the Bible says there are numerous ways we encourage other people. We encourage people to attend worship, to be of one mind. We are to encourage people in their faith. We are to encourage those who are disheartened. We are to encourage people to be self-controlled. And we are to encourage people, he says, daily. 35-year-old man wrote about an incident that happened when he was in fifth grade. In fifth grade, he had to get glasses, and he was very self-conscious about it. And he went to his class, and during an assignment time, his teacher called him up. And she said, I noticed you're wearing glasses today. And he said, yes, I just got them. And she said, well, I want to tell you, those glasses make you look like Clark Kent. Now, who is Clark Kent? Superman. And that's what the boy thought. My teacher thinks I look like Clark Kent. She thinks I look like Superman. And he wrote that that was the best day ever in school. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think this teacher remembers 24 years later what she said to that kid in her class? Probably not. But this guy, now 35 years old, some 24 years later, still remembers this day. He still remembers those words, and he says, that was the best day in school ever. So the story just reminds us how important, how impactful, how powerful our words are. A kind word, a word of encouragement, can change a person's life. Remember the movie Stand and Deliver, came out in 1988, story about James Escalante, who was an incredibly successful teacher in a rough high school. In his class, there were two boys named Johnny. One was a bright student, the best student, a joy to teach. The other was just wasted his talents, resisted authority, refused to learn anything. Well, at the first PTA meeting, one of the parents came up to Jamie Escalante and asked about her boy, Johnny. And he said, Johnny is wonderful. He's such a joy to have in my class. I wish all the students were just like Johnny. Well, the next day, this rebellious Johnny walked into the classroom with a big smile on his face and a totally different attitude. He ran up to Mr. Escalante and said, my mother told me what you said about me last night. And I just want you to know, no teacher ever wanted me in their class before. No teacher ever thought I was a good student, that I would be able to do the work. None of my teachers even liked me. I've never been a good student, but I'm going to become a good student. And he became a model student. What Johnny didn't know, that Mr. Escalante thought Johnny's mother was the mother of the other Johnny, who was the best student in his class. His comments were not meant for this Johnny, but meant for the other Johnny. But the results were still unbelievable. One encouraging word spoken at the right time for the right person, to the right person, transformed this young man's life. That's exactly what encouragement does. You'd make a great preacher. Yeah, you do a really good job as an elder. Thank you for volunteering to help with the youth. Man, you know, your presence at VBS really made a difference. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for setting an example for others. If everyone in our church was just like you, wow, man, we'd be on fire. Encouraging words. We all need them. We all need to speak them. What kind of words come out off of your tongue? What kind of words flow from the fountain within you? It's hard. It's very hard to keep from speaking salty words. But that's exactly what we're called to do. And when you hear yourself speaking salty words, don't overlook it as simply a minor infraction of God's commands. See it as a danger sign. See it as heart disease. See it as a contaminated fountain. And make the changes necessary to fix the problem. Clean up that fountain from which your words come. So if you're here this morning as a Christian, that's the challenge for you. Let people know who you are by the words you speak. Now, if you're here this morning and you've never become a Christian, we want to encourage you to do that. God promises us everlasting life. The life in this world is simply temporary, and we don't know when it's going to end. But we know we have life eternal if we accept Christ. So the Bible says to become a Christian, we need to have faith that leads us to confess Christ and repent of our sins and then be baptized into Christ. That is being born again. We go under the water as we are baptized, dead to old self, and come up a new person in Jesus Christ. If you need to make that decision to be baptized into Christ this morning, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. If you come forward, we can baptize you today. If you want to talk a little more about it, if you want to understand a little more, see me and we'll talk about it and set up a time for you to make that decision. Let's stand as we sing together.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to join us in person, we meet on Sundays at 8:45 and 11 a.m. and on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Have a great week.